state there. So talking about some scriptures about resisting temptation that we all know is very important. First of all, just starting out with simple definition, a temptation is the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. We could be tempted to do something good and righteous, but we don't have to struggle with that. That's something that we endeavor to. There we go. That's something that we endeavor to do and rejoice in. It's the wrong, the unwise, the evil that we want to overcome and avoid, of course. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that's a good step in the right direction, to resist the influences of the adversary. And, you know, if we're persistent in that, eventually the adversary will give up on us, at least at that point. Try again, though. We know that. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it. That's about avoiding situations that are just inherently wrong. Something that we can, if we put our mind to it, can think, well, is this really a good idea to do? Should I go there? Should I be there? Should I be a part of this conversation? And if it doesn't seem right, and we can tell it's not going to go in a good direction, then we avoid it and turn from it. So that way we don't have to deal with it, and that's the right course in those situations. Kind of similar in Timothy 2:22, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Those that are involved in, it's here referred to as youthful lust, and that's a big category and doesn't have to be just be youthful, are really prisoners of their own passions, and they're not free, and they will not pursue righteousness and faithfulness and love and peace because they're stuck in that place. So it's better to run from something that is wrong, appears to be wrong, that we think would be wrong or inappropriate, rather than getting into it and then trying to get out of it and then trying to grow from there. So that's good advice, to run from anything that stimulates youthful lust or anything else that's evil. And we rejoice in the fact, this is kind of a double negative here, but for we do not have a high priest who is unable. We could say that we do have a high priest who is able, kind of the same thing, to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. Now that's talking about our Lord, and we know he never committed sin. So he had to avoid it. He had to perhaps struggle with it. He had to overcome it. So we are being judged by a high priest who made no mistakes. Now, he was perfect, but he was still human. So he had his struggles. We're sure we don't have a lot of information on that, but we know that his path was not easy, especially perhaps in not improperly judging those who would eventually end his life, realizing that this was something that had to be done for him to pay the ransom. And then a part of what we call the Lord's Prayer, and do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's from the adversary. Some great advice in 1 John 2:1. My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So here we have the goal, and that is to not sin. But realizing that everybody does sin, even those that are struggling hard against it, because of our fallen condition and maybe lack of sufficient willpower, when we find that we have done something wrong or thought something wrong, we do have an advocate with the Father, and that's our Lord. And that's wonderful to know. It's wonderful to depend on, but never to use an excuse to do wrong, because we know that we can at least try to make it right. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. You know, overcoming is a result of spiritual strength. Overcoming something is difficult. We're fighting against something. We're trying to, you know, climb a mountain, so to speak. But it's something that should be our way of life. We should be overcomers. We have to always be overcomers, because until the end of our course, there is going to be temptation in front of us and a human tendency to go in the wrong direction. Developing the ability to overcome sin and temptation is instrumental to us in making our calling and election sure. Since our goal after consecration and spirit begettal is to prove faithful to make our calling and election sure, we have to develop as quickly as possible and as faithfully as possible the ability to identify sin or something that we know is a weakness. When we're in the middle of it, to, by whatever means, we are to have the strength to overcome it. And the best way to avoid that is to avoid the temptation in the first place, and avoiding temptation, knowing that there's nothing good will come from the result, is instrumental in making our calling and election sure. This is an interesting text and something that can be reassuring to us, comforting to us in our fight against the flesh. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to man or to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it. It's a precious promise. You know, it's really telling us that what can lead us astray is common to humanity. It's part of human nature. And that the Lord will intervene, perhaps between us and the adversary, if not our flesh, to never be faced with a temptation that we cannot overcome, cannot conquer. So there'll never or should never be something that is so overwhelming that we just had no chance. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way out so that we might be able to bear it. And we know that that can be very difficult. The way to make it easier is to avoid the temptation altogether. Then we don't get in the middle of it and somehow try to have to fight our way out of it. So that's a wonderful, precious promise. A couple of suggestions is that, starting out with number one, of course, that we need to know ourselves well, be honest with ourselves, know what our weaknesses are, know how we're easily tempted. And everybody's different in this. There's just an array of temptations out there, far more than we would like. And some have a real struggle with things that you have no struggle with at all, and you have struggles with something that doesn't bother somebody else that's in the narrow way. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. It's always close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. So we see a battle here. We see in our members or in our body, in our will, a war that is being waged against what we think about in our mind, what tempts us. And it can easily make us captive to the law of sin. So this is a encouragement to not let that happen, to stop it, before it really, really starts, knowing the principle that if we get into sin or something that appears to be sin or is a weakness and we know no good will come from it, the longer we stay in that course, the harder it is to get out. And sometimes we don't get out, and that puts us in a bad place. It's a very good idea to be aware of, and most of us don't have to go through too much trouble here, but to learn to recognize what is most tempting to you. There are aspects of life that are very tempting to you, to myself, that other brethren have no problem with at all. They don't even realize it's a fight for anyone. And then there are kind of the opposite is true. They may have a fight that about something, a struggle with something that we don't have at all. So everybody's different on this, but each person, everybody is tempted, but they're tempted when they're lured away. So we've got to stop that. A lot of the overcoming here and the success is stopping something really, hopefully before it starts, and avoiding situations and circumstances that we know we have a weakness in. Take preventive action. I would say preventative, but I was told that that's really not a word. So take preventive action. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. We know that. And I think I have another translation. Yeah, this is kind of maybe more current. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. So without any effort particularly, it just kind of spreads. And that's true in our battle against sin. We make room for it. It, before we know it, kind of takes over. Our will takes over and makes it more difficult to overcome. So that's a good principle to keep in mind. And a very valuable key, just really extremely valuable, I might suggest, to resisting temptation is to avoid anything that is similar to or close to what tempts us. So we have to have enough self-awareness to know what we struggle with, and it will be different for everyone. There's some things that I think are fairly common, but you know, everybody's going to handle this differently and is tempted because of their background, their physical constitution, their upbringing, whatever, is going to have a different fight. But it will always be against temptation to avoid anything that might be wrong. So again, a very valuable key to resisting temptation is just to stay away from it. Stay away. Don't have it as part of your life. Don't get close to it. Don't entertain it. Don't get involved a little bit and then try to get out, because then it becomes more difficult to get out. Better to not even start or begin in the first place. And that's, I think, a main point. Think about what we're fighting against, or what you're fighting against. If you think about a particular temptation that you struggle with, it's almost as if something that is close or akin to that temptation is in a way worse, because we just have to be tempted to kind of the fringe, and then we have a weakness there, and before we know it, we're right in the middle of the problem. So being able to, having enough clarity and being in, of mind, and being able to know when we're getting close to something that is, we know, a problem for us, we've got to back away from it. We just cannot go down the slippery slope and then we're right in the middle of it. So being aware of and sensitive to just the outskirts, if you will, of a problem we have is very, very important. So I'm going to use an example here. Let's say you have a weakness. This is pretty benign. It's getting involved in a lot worse than donuts, but I think I might try some and see if it's all that bad, but no. We have a weakness for donuts. Well, you know, one way to avoid this is to stay away from the bakery shop. You know, that we're not just going to go there and browse around. We're going to look up. So we go to the bakery shop and we find this. And now we have a real problem, because it's even more of a temptation. So, of course, the best thing to do is a way to stay away from the donuts is to stay away from the bakery. And that way we don't get. So that's just kind of a good practical example, I think. You know, there's this expression in the Old Testament Song of Solomon that we're all familiar with. catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. You know, that's important in the reality of having a vineyard. I remember doing a study on this, and there is some kind of a fox that is just, it's not a large one. It's hard to see. It's hard to rid the vineyard of because they're very elusive. But if they're not trapped or caught or shot or killed or whatever, it ruins the vineyard. The tendency is to look for the bigger adversaries of the vineyard, the larger animals that we can actually see are destroying it. But it can be in the process of being destroyed by something that's hard to see. So we have to make an effort applying this to ourselves to look for anything at all. We have to be really honest with ourselves here that we may be involved in where we're getting too close to a temptation. We really know we are, but we may not want to admit it. And to be aware that something very, very small that's kind of in the realm of the temptation is to be avoided, something that's even close to it. So that will spoil the vine. That will spoil our efforts because we'll get involved with that or think about that. And then there's another step, and then it just gets, the farther we get into it, the harder it is to get out of it. So realize that there's always a way of escape. There's always a way to get out. And the way to get out, the best way to get out is never to get in, never get close to it. Again, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Good lesson for us. And a nice, precious promise is no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. So there's something maybe reassuring in that, but it is also a warning. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it, to maybe even get out of it or not get into it at all. So we do realize we're in a lot of company, and that's the human race. And that there's a way of escape that the Lord will provide for us if we get too involved. But we also have to keep in mind by the counsel of other scriptures, a couple of which we've looked at, is to not get close to the temptation, at all. But the way of escape is nice. So resisting temptation, very important. It proves our fidelity to the Lord. And it allows us to make our calling and election sure, and that is our primary goal in life.